to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
We are in the midst of and getting toward the end of this Bible study series called Share Your Faith. This is the sixth lesson, and it's been a great instructive process as we just got done praying. I pray and am believing that for all of us, I said us, not just you, not just me, but all of us together, that it's more than just us learning more or reviewing what we already knew about sharing our faith, but that we'll be like a tool that's been taken out and sharpened and honed and ready for use, and we would take advantage of that to share our faith with those around us. So we started off with the lesson, tell your story, the unique way in which God has worked in your life. Your story is a powerful way to begin to share the gospel. Then we talked about telling the truth, not just in opposition to telling a lie, but the truth of the good news, the truth of the gospel. We talked about the basic truths that we need to be familiar with so that we can share the gospel with people, share our faith. And then I was away for a week, and Lynn taught on practical preparations. He did a great job. If you missed it that night, haven't listened to it, go online and listen to it. I mean, he covered in a very organized way the basics, all the way from making sure your breath doesn't stink. And that's good advice for all interpersonal relationships, not just when you're sharing your faith, to the fact that we need to be dependent upon God by His Holy Spirit. And we need to be focused on His Word, not just our story. That's important. But God's Word, because it's God's Word that works in people's lives. And so I encourage you to listen to that if you were not here. And then I was back and I talked about living the truth, that we need to live out the truth we say we believe in. Because if we don't, people are going to look at it and say, well, why do I want what you're sharing with me? Because you don't even live by it. And you're just like me. I'm just like you. Why do I need Jesus? Okay. And then last week, John Smith taught, and he picked up that same theme and talked about be who you say you are. And if you missed that, I would encourage you to go and listen to it online. It was powerful. The first half of it was his testimony, which laid the foundation for what he shared about living out your faith and how that is a testimony to others. And what I thought was so powerful about it, many of you were here, but some of you perhaps weren't. He was talking about how for the longest time he didn't want to be a Christian. Because he knew too many of them. That's a sad statement. He knew too many Christians that claimed to be Christians, but they didn't live it out. They lived a double life. He says, I don't want that. But then he met some real Christians. But anyway, if you missed it, go back and listen to it, okay? So tonight, we are going to be involved in the study. I've called it, Don't Wait for an Angel. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8. Where God used an angel to tell somebody to go share their faith. But before we jump into this story, it's probably a story that many of you are familiar with. Some of you may not be. So I want to ask you a question. How do we get from just living life, minding our own business, which is a good thing to do? We don't need to be getting into other people's business, okay? Not in a negative way, all right? But we're going through life doing what God's called us to do, making a living, taking care of our families, taking care of our homes, just living life. But as believers, we know that we should share our faith. So as we're going through life, how do we get from just living life to where now we're sharing our faith? What are some of the steps that are involved with, as we go through life, we're able to share our faith? What are some things that are involved in that? Am I making the question clear? I don't want to be obtuse here. I mean, if you're not sure, let's say you're on your way to the store, you're going to the store, or you're at work, or you're in your neighborhood. How do you get from that to where you start sharing your faith with someone? Chris? You need to be led by the Spirit. Okay, we're going to talk about that tonight. All right? Be led by the Spirit. Be led by God. Be led by Him for what? Okay, be led by the Spirit to know who to talk to. Now, I wanted to clarify that because we also need to be led by the Spirit in other ways if we're going to share our faith. What are some other ways we need to be led by the Spirit if we're going to share our faith? Okay, that He will give us boldness. You know, Jesus said that we receive power Part of that power is boldness when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to be witnesses. But another way is that we need to be led by the Spirit in how to carry out the conversation. Okay, and the Spirit will bring scriptures to our remembrance and other things that we can share. So very, very good. So part of the process is being led by the Spirit. What are some other practical things that are in there? Just going through life and we need to share our faith. What are some other things that are involved? What? You have to be in the Word. Yes, you have to know the Word. You don't have to have it memorized. Don't have to know every answer to every question. But you have to be familiar with the truth. Okay, what else? That's right. You have to interact with people that aren't believers. You know, as Christians, it's just so much more comfortable to just hang around with other Christians. You know, and we love being with other Christians. You know, we love settings like this or church on Sunday morning. We worship Jesus and thank God when he comes and moves. And sometimes it gives us all the emotional heebie-jeebies and everything. You know, I'm not making fun. I love emotion as much as anybody else. You know, I love the way God moves in our lives, but we can become so enamored by that and excited about that. And we get ourselves all isolated from people who don't know Jesus. You know, sometimes they're uncomfortable to be around. But that's a very good point. We've got to be out there rubbing shoulders. You know, we talked about that one week, being salt and light. Salt does no good if it stays in the salt shaker. It's got to be shaken on that raw meat. Okay. Light's got to be shined out there in the darkness. What else would be involved? Norris. That's right. Really listen to people. Okay. It goes back to what Chris said about being led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. We need to listen to people. Okay. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and all they wanted to do is talk and not listen? You know, it gets old really quick, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we can be guilty of that. You know, we're all excited about, maybe we're excited about sharing the gospel and stuff. We're boom, 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 boom. And we're not really listening to the person. We don't know where they're at. We don't know what they're dealing with. And they may have a question that could really open a door. And so we need to listen to people. We need to communicate with them, not just preach at them. Right? We need to have back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Not just tell them everything that we think we know. All right. Very, very good point, Norris. All right. Joan. Yeah, you're looking at my notes, aren't you? No, you're not. No, right. We got to be led by the Spirit, but we got to be willing to obedient. Have any of you ever felt like God was telling you to do something and you didn't do it? Yeah, I'll admit, yeah, I do. I've done that too, right? Yeah. Have you ever wondered, is God telling me to do this or not? And you, is this God or not? How do I know? Should I do it? Should I not do it? You know, so that's important too. Yeah, Chris. I hope you meant that figuratively. We need to pull out our big sword and stab him right through the heart. Okay, I would interpret that we need to be sure we use God's word. To go back to what Lynn had emphasized when he taught. Well, let's jump into this story. You guys have basically covered it all. I don't know if you really are good guessers or you're just really smart or you looked at the fill in the blank and tried to fill them in. But we're going to see all these things in this very interesting story in Acts chapter 8. Let me give you the background real quickly and then we're going to jump into Acts chapter 8 starting in verse 26. The background is this story is about a guy by the name of Philip. He was not one of the original disciples of Jesus. Well, I shouldn't say that. He wasn't one of the 12. There was a disciple named Philip, but this is not the same one. Now, there was also a group of disciples that was 70, and then there was a bigger group, and there's 500 that saw Jesus when he was resurrected. He may have been a part of those. We don't know. But we first meet this Philip by name in the book of Acts. And he comes up in Acts, I think it's chapter 6, when there's some work that needs to be done in the church to take care of some needs of some widows. And they choose six, what we would now call deacons, men who are full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom to take care of these practical matters. And Philip was one of those men. Philip is a Greek name, so he may have been a Greek, even though he has Jewish faith. And so he was used in that way. But even though he started out in the book of Acts anyway, just doing very simple labor for the church of taking care of food distribution and stuff, God began to use him. At one point then, a great persecution broke out, and a lot of Christians took off from Jerusalem, okay? And nobody likes persecution, but that was actually part of God's plan. All the Christians we were talking about earlier, Christians getting together, loving being together. Jesus told them, go out into the world, preach the gospel. He went into heaven. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't go out into the world. They just hung around with each other, having great fellowship. Now, they were preaching the gospel in Jerusalem. That's great, but they were not going into the world. I think that's one of the reasons why God allowed persecution to break out, because everybody's like, flee for the hills. You know, they took off, went all over the place. But the good news is when they took off, it says that wherever they went, they shared the gospel. And Philip was one of those, and he went to Samaria. And he was the one that brought the gospel to the Samaritans, which was a big deal because the Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. He was the first one to cross, that we have record of, that crossed those cultural lines, reached out to people that would be considered enemies, and a great revival broke out. Tremendous revival. And the church back in Jerusalem heard about it, and they said, would God even love Samaritans? I mean, that's not in the Bible, but that's kind of what the attitude was. So Peter and John went to check it out, and they found out God really does love Samaritans. They've been saved. They've been baptized. God had been healing some of them. There was great joy, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John began to pray for them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot more to the story. I could get into telling the whole thing, but then we'd miss our lesson. But Philip is in Samaria in the midst of this great big revival. God's moving. People are being saved and baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And God says, I want you to leave here because there's somebody I want you to talk to. Just one person out in the middle of the desert. Why in the world would God move somebody from a great revival where they're having powerful ministry to go talk to one person in the middle of the desert? We'll come back to that before we get done. But that's the background. God had him leave this wonderful revival in Samaria and go almost 100 miles to reach one person. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And this is going to give us some practical steps. You know, the question I started, how do we get from living everyday life to sharing our faith? Some very practical steps that will help us be effective in sharing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay? In other words, you may know the scriptures of, but how do I get started? How do I get started? This story is going to tell us how, okay? Let's read verses 26 to 29. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the road that goes from Palestine to Egypt, goes through the desert. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So the first point here is we need to be open. Listen to God. Be open. Listen to God. Now, a little bit of explanation here. Philip's in this place. God says, go. Speaks through an angel. To this road from Jerusalem down to Gaza on its way to Egypt. And then from Egypt, it would go further south to Ethiopia. There's this eunuch, many of the palace officials in kings and pharaohs and all that kind of stuff. And they were eunuchs. It says that he was basically the treasurer for Candace. Now, Candace seems to be a name, but it's not really a name. Just like many of the Roman leaders were called Caesar, they each were called Caesar, you know, and kings are called kings. You know, the leaders of Egypt were called pharaohs. Well, the leaders of the Ethiopians, their official title was Candace. So every one of their leaders would have been called Candace. It wasn't specifically a name, okay? And Ethiopia is not the same Ethiopia we know today. It's really about the area of Sudan. Okay, the area below, or I should say below, south of Egypt. So anyway, somehow this guy, he was an Ethiopian, and he knew about the Jewish God, and was so committed to this Jewish God, or at least learning more about this Jewish God, that he went hundreds of miles to Jerusalem to worship. And now he's on his way back home. And he's treasurer for this country. He apparently has a lot of money because he's not walking. He's not riding a donkey. He's in a chariot. He's not by himself. He's not driving. He's just riding along reading. So he's got servants. All right. The fact that he actually has a scroll indicates that he has some wealth because everything was handwritten and hand copied then, and a scroll cost a lot of money. And so God sends Philip to go to this desert road. Now, Philip didn't know all this stuff when God told him to go. Okay, but this is who he's going to meet. So the first step that we see Philip does, and the same step we need in our own lives, as we're going through everyday life, we're going to school, we're going to work, we're going out in the community, we're at the community center, you know, we go to shop. We need to be open. We need to listen to God. As was mentioned, as we answered the question, we need to be ready to be led by the Holy Spirit. God may speak to us, say, you need to talk to this person. He may do it in the sense of have you go up to somebody and you make the approach. It may be the fact that you may be talking to someone and God says, okay, this is an opportunity. All right. You think you're just talking to them about the weather, but I want to use this opportunity to tell them about Jesus. So we need to be open and listen to God. And this is true for every area of our life, not just sharing our faith, but especially in sharing our faith. On your note sheet, I have this statement. God wants to use you and he will guide you if you will listen. So how did God speak to Philip? How did God speak to Philip? How did God tell Philip what he wanted him to do? Edward, which verse do you see that in? You just read it just now? Well, that's not God, that's an angel. You know, okay. So God sent an emissary, right? An angel. In case you didn't know, the word angel literally means messenger. Okay? So God spoke in an audible voice, but it wasn't God's audible voice. It was God speaking through an angel. All right? So God spoke to Philip through an angel. Is that the only way he spoke to him? I'm talking about in the text. I mean, in the verses here. I'm not talking about you speculating or whatever. The verse tells us that God spoke to Philip by an angel, but there was another way God spoke to him too. And the Spirit said to Philip. Okay, so we got an angel talking to Philip. We got the Spirit talking to Philip. You might say, well, how did the Spirit talk to Philip? Okay, how does the Spirit talk to us? Yeah, he speaks to us through impressions in our heart. You know, in a different way, he speaks to us through his word. Okay? And I say a different way because God is not going to have somebody's name in his word. You're not going to read your Bible and say, you read it and it says, hey, listen, you need to go talk to so-and-so today about Jesus because that's not in the Bible. But God speaks through his Spirit. So he led Philip by sending an angel, by speaking to him by the Holy Spirit. How might God guide us to share our faith today? Do you think he's going to send an angel to speak to us? Could he? He could. Is he likely to? Probably not. Let me ask, how many of you have had an angel show up and tell you to share your faith with somebody? I'll put my hand in. Okay. So I'm not mocking it at all. And I'm not saying God couldn't do that. He did it here. He could do it again. But that's not his normal, usual way of working. And that's why I titled this lesson, Don't Wait for an Angel. Okay? We want to follow Philip's example, but not in every little detail. We don't want to say, okay, Jesus, I'll share you with somebody else. I'll share my faith as long as you send me an angel and tell me to do it. Okay, so don't wait for an angel. But how many of you have felt or sensed God's Spirit speaking to you? I hope you all can raise your hands. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Lynn. To Philip. Bible doesn't say. He probably did because then he wouldn't have known it was an angel. That could be. But I think in this case it probably was because then Philip wouldn't have known it was an angel. In other words, Philip knew it was an angel. Okay. It's really interesting. Did you know that when you go through the Bible, God never, except for once that I'm aware of, uses an angel to share the gospel? Never. He wants us as human beings to do so. Trivia question. Does anybody know the one place in the Bible where God does use an angel to share the gospel? Chris? In Revelation. And it's during the tribulation. It says there'll be an angel flying through heaven at one particular point sharing the gospel. But other than that, and it's really interesting because not only is that true in the Bible, but in real life. I hear testimonies from time to time of people, especially Muslims. It seems to be a way God is working with them, that God will send them an angel, but the angel does not tell them the gospel. He tells the Muslim to go find a Christian, or points out a particular Christian and say, go, they know what you need to know. There have been untold numbers of testimonies of Muslims that have had angels show up to them, and the angel always tells them to go talk to a Christian or points out a particular Christian for them to talk to. Yeah, and Cornelius in Acts. That's right. The angel told Cornelius, send for Peter. The angel didn't tell him. So just an interesting trivial fact why God does it that way. I think part of it is because he wants us to do our part, right? So anyway, God wants to use you. He will guide you. He spoke through to Philip by, you know, I have a feeling, this is my opinion. The Bible doesn't say. I think one of the reasons why God sent the angel to Philip is, you know, put yourself in his position. What would it take for you to believe that God was speaking to you to leave a place where he was powerfully using you to go off to a desert road? It would have to take some kind of overwhelming way to speak to you. And that may have been God's way of saying, okay, I want to make sure he gets this message and he knows it's really from me. Okay, so he may have used the angel to do that. Yeah, that's a very good point. In Acts, God sent an angel to Paul at a very crucial time. When you look at angels showing up in Scripture, we're getting a little bit off track here, so we'll get back on it really quick. Usually it's for a very momentous event or a very important time to really get a message across. But I wanted to point out that he did use the angel to get him started, but once he was going, Philip knew God had him on a mission. He knew he wanted him to do something. Then it says he spoke to him by the Spirit. I think he was more open. He was paying more attention. He was like, okay, God, you've told me to go here. Now keep talking to me. But now he's really listening hard. And so what I'm trying to communicate to you is don't wait for some angel to show up and say, hey, go witness to your neighbor. Hey, go share your faith with this person. But be open. Work it into your morning to get up and say, God, thank you for this day. Use me today however you want. And Lord, help me to hear your voice and help me to follow the leading of your Spirit for every area of my life. But especially if you want me to share my faith with someone, help me to recognize your voice speaking to me. So the first step is to be open. Listen to God. Now, how can we better hear God? How can we better hear God? I was going to let you. First of all, before we get there, how can we know that's really God speaking? If you feel like there's this voice saying you need to share your faith, how can you be sure that it's God? Rupert? Not until after he shared the gospel. No, if you look at the scripture, it says that God transported them after he shared the gospel with the Enoch. No, he walked there. It says he rose and he went. Yeah, it's after he shared the gospel with the Enoch that God transported him to Azotus. Okay? But that's for sure. If God would have done that, you'd have known it was God. But the point I want to make is this. Do you think the devil's going to tell you to go share your faith with somebody? No. Okay? So if you've got this inclination, I think God's speaking to me about sharing my faith. How do I do it? Is this really God or not? It probably is. Now, the only time I doubt that is if somebody has challenged you and you're angry. Well, I'm going to show them, and you decide you're going to start preaching to them, and you're going to let them have it. Well, you better pray about that and make sure your attitude's right, okay? But if you just feel some kind of inclination that maybe you should share your faith with somebody, it's probably God, because the devil's not going to tell you to do that, okay? So how can we better hear God? How can we better hear God? How can we better recognize his voice? I'd love to have a discussion, but we've had such good discussions so far, we're running out of time. First one, stop ignoring him. Stop ignoring him. Y'all heard of selective hearing? Yeah. Now that may work with your wife. Actually, probably not. But it definitely doesn't work with God. And this works for every area of life, not just sharing our faith. You want to learn to really hear God's voice better? Stop ignoring him. In other words, when you know God's speaking, if you ignore him, it's going to be harder for you to hear his voice. When you know God's speaking and you pay attention and you do what he says to do, you're going to find it easier to hear his voice. So the first step, if you really want to hear God better, stop ignoring him. The more we ignore the things that we know God is telling us, the harder it is to hear his voice. So if he's speaking to us about something, we're ignoring him. We may not be open to hear his voice in other areas. We're so used to just ignoring him, just pushing it aside. Yeah, Samuel. And that's a very good question, Samuel. You know, if you see someone in need, you see someone really hurting, you know, how do you know if God's telling you to reach out to them and help them and hopefully share the gospel? And how do you know maybe perhaps it's just your own heart of compassion? Well, who gives you the heart of compassion? God does. You know, if by some chance it's just your heart of compassion, how can you go wrong to help them in the name of Jesus when he's told us to do that? You see what I'm saying? So if we're going to err, I'd rather err on the side of I'm trying to help people, minister to people, share Jesus with people, even if God didn't directly tell me at that moment, you know, boom, we know that that's what he wants us to do in every opportunity we have. So we're walking in obedience and God will use that. But that's a good question. It is a good question. So stop ignoring him. The second thing is spend time with him in his word and prayer. Now, we need to do that anyway to be prepared to share our faith, you know, to know the truth. But since God speaks through his word, as we spend time with him in his word and prayer, we learn better to hear his voice. Then we're just out there living life and he speaks to us. We'll recognize his voice better. Okay, it's sort of like tuning in the radio, you know. Well, we don't have to do that so much anymore. But remember the days you had to tune in the radio? You kind of turn the knob to get it real clear. You know, spending time with God and his word and prayer is like tuning in the radio so you can hear it more clearly. And then the third one, and this goes back to what you were talking about too, Samuel. Step out in faith when you think you hear his voice. Again, if you step out in faith because you think God's wanting you to help someone, especially just by sharing your faith, and it's not God, you're still not doing a bad thing. Okay? And you can learn from your mistakes. How many times have you not done something, and later on you look back and say, man, something told me I should have done this. Something told me I should have said this. And again, this has to do with all of life, not just sharing our faith. You know, just step out in faith. And I tell you what, you know, in every area of life, not just sharing our faith, we can learn as much from our mistakes as we can from the times we got it right. Because we've all had those experiences where we said or did something. It's like, I won't ever do it that way again. All right. Brother Henry, were you wanting to say something or you just... Okay. I didn't know if your hand was kind of like, I want to say something or not. Okay. All right. So we need to be open. The second thing is we need to be obedient. Going back to what Joan said earlier, when God speaks to us, we need to do something about it. Be obedient. Do what God says. Let's go back to our story here. In verse 26... we just read that. It says, when the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, this is the other place, and he rose and went. Now, how much did God tell him through the angel? Did he say, go down to this road because a chariot's going to come along and there's going to be this eunuch and you're going to talk to him and he's going to be open to the gospel? In fact, he's going to be reading the Bible. Did he tell him all that stuff? No. He just said, go. He said, go, and he told him where. And what does it say? And it says, he rose and went. It sounds kind of abrupt, but I think it's deliberate. I think that's meant to convey that as soon as God said it, boom, he did it. Okay? As soon as God said it, he did it. Then in verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So Philip ran to him. Now, he could be running to him because, like, God, I'm going to obey you as quick as I can. Or he may have run to him because the chariot was going fast enough. He's going to leave me behind. Okay, but in any case, he did it immediately. On your note sheet, I have this statement. Immediate obedience is the best response when God speaks. Immediate obedience is the best response when God speaks. This is exactly what Philip did. God only gave him one instruction at a time. Again, a lot of these principles have to do with all of our life, not just sharing our faith. How many of you have discovered that you're trying to discover God's will for your life? You want to do the right thing with a job, with a relationship, whatever. And God only gives you one step at a time. We would rather have the whole road. You know, give us a map, Lord, and draw the whole route. There's a lot of reasons why God doesn't do that. One of them is I think it would scare us to death if we could see what's around the corner. We're not ready for it right now, but we will be when we get there. Or he'll make us ready or he'll help us through it, okay? Many times he just gives us one or two steps at a time. But as we're obedient, God gives us the next step. Have you ever been walking along at night at time with a flashlight? You can only see a little bit in front of you, right? But when you take a step forward, the light moves. You can see the next step. That's kind of the way God guides us and leads us. You know, there's times that somebody's going to come by my house either because we've invited them over or they want to bring something or pick up something or whatever. And a lot of times if they've never been to my house, then I get them on the phone and say, well, listen, go to the church and call me. They go to the church and they call me and say, okay, here's what you do. See, we only live 3 blocks away. So pull out of the parking lot, turn left. Okay? You're going to cross the street. You're going to pass a street that goes off to the left that doesn't go off to the right. You're going to come up to a stop sign. Okay? Go through the stop sign after looking both ways. Go down to the next street, take a left. And we're the third house on the left. See, step by step by step. By then, I'm standing on the front porch. I see him come around the corner and say, see me? You know, step by step by step. It's the easiest way to lead. And God does that many, many times. Now, why is this listening and obeying so important? Why is it so important that we're listening for God's voice and we're following His leading as far as sharing our faith is concerned? Chris? Okay, because that's His will for us and we need to follow His will. But in a very practical way, God knows who He's prepared. Okay? And He will lead us to them and tell us what to say and do. I mean, if we want to, you know, go back to what Samuel said. Let's say God puts within us such this great heart of compassion and love and desire not only to help, like you were talking about, you know, you see somebody in need, but to share the gospel. And you just go out and start sharing your gospel with everybody. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Okay? But there are ones that God has prepared their heart and that God may have destined, a phrase Chris used earlier, a divine appointment that He has in mind that He wants to bring you together. This is a divine appointment. Philip and this Ethiopian, it's more dramatic than many of the divine appointments we may have. But it's a divine appointment, and God knows whose heart He's prepared. He knows whose paths you're going to cross tomorrow, and He knows which ones might be open to the gospel. So we need to be listening and then obeying. Now, Philip could have used a lot of excuses to not talk to this guy. All right. I was reading in one commentary. It was very, very interesting. Some excuses Philip could have used. One of them just being the differences between him and this Ethiopian eunuch. Think this through with me. There were racial differences. He was Greek and or Jewish. He was Ethiopian. Religious differences. Okay. Philip was a Jew. This guy was a Gentile. Vocational differences. Philip was an evangelist. This guy was a government worker and a great leader in his country. Socioeconomic differences. Philip probably didn't have much. This guy was rich. Physical differences. Philip was probably hot and dirty. The eunuch was probably cool and clean. I mean, have you ever been in situations like, well, I'd really like to talk to them, but I'm not really presentable right now. A lot of reasons and excuses Philip could have used, but he didn't. Now, I wanted to make a very important note here. We've mentioned before, and this is definitely true, that God can really effectively reach people who are like us or who have similar situations or similar backgrounds, that kind of thing. Now, we mentioned that. You know, if you used to be a drug addict, God can really use you to reach drug addicts. If you used to be an alcoholic, God can really use you to reach alcoholics. If you were a prostitute, God could really use you to reach. And that is definitely true. But this story shows us the opposite is true, too. God can use anybody to reach anybody. God can use us to reach somebody who's totally opposite us. Okay? So we don't need to limit ourselves. So we need to be open. We need to be obedient. The third thing here is we need to be observant. Be observant. We need to look for people to tell. Go to verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "What do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip was keeping his eyes open. And you might say, well, I would be too if God told me to go to a specific place to meet somebody. Right? I mean, if an angel showed up to me and said, go down to the desert road, and I go down there, and the Spirit says, go up to that chariot, you know. I mean, I would be having my eyes open, too. Well, the concept I want you to get, again, the idea is don't wait for an angel, is that God is guiding and leading us every single day wherever we go. All right? And so we need to keep our eyes open for who God might lead us to. Wherever you go, God's sending you there. He'll arrange for you to meet or be with those who need what you can give them. You know, this Ethiopian eunuch probably looked really good on the outside. He had everything. He's rich, riding in comfort, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? He had a need on the inside. And that should teach us also that don't just look at the outside of somebody. You might see somebody, it's like they got their life all together. They've got everything they could possibly want. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You know, you don't know what's going on in their heart. There are people all around us who need what we have. And we need to constantly keep our eyes open because we are on a mission for God. On your note sheet, I have this statement. We need to see people as Jesus saw them. You know, oftentimes we see people as problems or interruptions. I've shared this before. That's something I have to battle with as a pastor. I'm a pastor. I should be here to help people, right? And I want to. Don't get me wrong. I do. But you know, if I get caught up with all this work I got to do, boom, 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 boom. If I'm not careful, phone calls, people stopping by, it can seem more like an interruption than an opportunity that God wants to use me. And it's something I'm always aware of and I'm always praying about. Okay? But that's true of people not just that are not just pastors. How many times have we been going about our business? We've got an agenda. We've got a list. We've got things we got to accomplish. And somebody comes up or we come across somebody. It's like, oh, man, not now. We're saying, oh, man, not now. And God's saying, hey, I put this together. Okay? So be observant. Look for people to tell. See people the way Jesus saw. Now, if in case you feel bad about that, remember, the disciples were the same way. The disciples often saw other people as interruptions or obstacles or whatever. They felt that way about children. They felt that way about the crowd that Jesus ended up feeding. They're like, Jesus, send them away. Send them away. Okay? And so, anyway, see people the way Jesus saw them. Matthew 9:36. This is a statement that we see over and over in the Gospels. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Next thing on your note sheet there, people need what you have. People need what you have. Again, verse 31, the guy says, and how can I, you know, Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody guides me? So I need somebody to guide me. Philip was the guy that could guide him. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to have to go through the rest of this quickly because we are supposed to finish here in a couple minutes. So let me give them to you real quick. Number four, be outgoing. Develop a relationship. Starting in verse 32. Now, the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. Beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, when I say be outgoing, I'm not talking about changing your personality. What I'm talking about is be willing to take the initiative to start a conversation, to develop a relationship. Okay? Let me give you a couple practical points here real quickly. Number one, or letter A, start where they are. Start where they are. That's what Philip does. Okay? He doesn't just come up to the chariot and starts preaching to the guy. The guy's reading Isaiah. He's got this question about Isaiah. It just so happens in God's sovereignty, he's reading where Isaiah is talking about what's going to happen to Jesus. It was a perfect door. But he started where he was. Okay? He started where he was. In fact, it actually says that in verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture. So it requires some patience. Find out where they are in their understanding. Not every situation is going to be there where the guy says, hey, I was reading the Bible the other day. I got this question. You talk to somebody that's going through a hard time in your life. Find out where they're at. Start where they are. And let me just give you a practical tip for building relationships in general, not just to share your faith. Okay? And that is show interest in other people. Ask them questions. My wife and I, we kind of chuckle sometimes because we do this deliberately. When we meet new people, especially if we're sharing a meal with somebody, meet new pastors or just anybody else, is because we know this is a good thing to do, it's the best thing to do, and that is find out as much as you can about the other person. Ask them questions. When they ask them another one. And sometimes we have these most wonderful, delightful conversations where we ask them questions, they answer, they ask us questions, back and forth, back and forth, build a relationship. But you wouldn't believe how many times we've gotten together with people in any kind of circumstance and other pastors and their wives. We ask them all kinds of questions, they answer them, but they don't ever ask us any questions. We ask about their kids, their grandkids, what do they like to do, where do they go on vacation, all kinds. They'll answer, but they never ask us about us. And we always, afterwards, we just start laughing, you know. But anyway, that's the point. You want to build good relationships with people. Who is it? There's a really famous person that I can't remember his name. That's how famous he is. Says the best way to make friends is to ask them questions and show interest in them rather than try to get them interested in you. Okay? That's not the exact quote, but it works really well with sharing the gospel. Okay? Letter B, meet their immediate need. Meet their immediate need. Going back to what Samuel said, you see somebody crying by the side of the road. You feel led to go over and help them. You know, you found out they got a, you know, whatever it is. Before you start preaching the gospel, try to help them with their immediate need. A lot of principles in Scripture says, how can you preach the gospel, paraphrase, how can you preach the gospel to somebody who hasn't anything to eat? You know, give them something to eat. Then share the gospel. You know, meet their immediate need. Now, his immediate need was understanding the Scripture. That's what Philip did. And there's all kinds of immediate needs people can have, and they can express that we can use to share with them about Christ. Worries, fears, problems, a poor self-image, life-changing events like sickness, a divorce, a new baby, positive events, negative events, all these things, okay, can be a lead into sharing the gospel. And then C, move to the good news. All right, you start where they are, meet their meeting, then move to the good news. This may only take a couple minutes. In this case with Philip, it was almost immediate because this guy was reading God's word. He had a question. Philip was able to jump right in and share the good news. You may develop a relationship, and it may take a month before God opens the door for you to share a gospel. But in that month, God wants you to build that relationship. You may meet someone, and it may take 6 months. Because you might try to share the gospel, and they immediately shut you down. Because of past experience, whatever. You keep building that relationship until the door opens again. Okay? So, but eventually move to the good news. Look for opportunities to engage them in meaningful conversation and to steer that conversation to Christ. I like this quote. Loving others won't guarantee their salvation, but not loving them will definitely hinder it. Loving others won't guarantee their salvation, but not loving them will definitely hinder it. Okay? This whole idea of a relationship, a survey was done one time. 86% of people who became Christians received Christ primarily through the influence of family or friends. People they had a relationship with. Not a stranger, not a preacher. They may have heard the gospel that way, but the primary influence was a family member or a friend, somebody they had a relationship. I've said this many times. We can go door to door. It's a great idea. God will use it. People can stand on the street corners. If God tells them to, God will use it. But the primary way he wins people to himself is through relationship. Okay? Number five, real quick. Be obvious. Lead them to Christ. Be obvious. Lead them to Christ. Verse 35. Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. We can do all the other steps, but if we never tell them about Jesus, what good does it do? If I knew a cure for cancer and develop friendships with people that had cancer so I could encourage them and help them in their battle with cancer, but never told them about the cure, people would think I was crazy. They want to throw me in jail. Someone would want to kill me, right? You can develop all kinds of relationships and friendships with people that aren't Christians, and you know they're hurting, and you're trying to help them and encourage them, but you never tell them about the answer? You never tell them about Jesus? What kind of sense does that make? On your note sheet there, Jesus must be the ultimate focus of what we share with others. He's the only one who can save someone from their sins. Now that means you got to have a basic understanding of salvation and the scriptural truth. We've talked about that in weeks past. Somebody might say, I don't know enough about the scriptures to lead someone to Christ. And my question would be, why not? Now, if you just came to know Jesus Christ last week or last month, I can understand that. You need to grow in that. But if you've known the Lord for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, why don't you know enough to share the gospel with somebody? Not having all of it memorized, not having every answer to every question, but it's not that complicated, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Most of us know what we need to know to lead someone to Christ. We're just scared to give it a try. Let's wrap this up. Okay, let me read verses 36 to 40, give you the last couple thoughts, and we'll be done. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. There's what you were talking about, Rupert. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns till he came to Caesarea. And if you read the book of Acts, you find out he's still in Caesarea 20 years later, and he's married. He's got three daughters that are prophetesses. So God finally settled down the traveling evangelist in Caesarea. All right. So wrapping this up, this story emphasizes two things. Number one, the importance of one person to God. God loves every person. And for whatever reason, besides his love, God had Philip go 100 miles to share the gospel with this one guy. The second thing is the influence of one person for the kingdom of God. Now that's illustrated by Philip himself. But also, we don't know what happened to this eunuch, but there's no telling. He may have gone back to Ethiopia, and there's a strong church in Ethiopia. There's a lot of bad persecution, too. But there's evidence of a strong church in Ethiopia going way back to the beginning of the church. It may be because of this eunuch that went back and shared the gospel himself. Okay? Now, God may lead you to speak to a stranger about Christ, but he's more likely to lead you to use and develop the relationships you already have, or to start relationships. I like this saying, you won't change the world, but you can change the world for one person or for one family. One last quote and we'll quit. Sorry we went so far over, but it's because we were having such a good discussion. Edward Everett Hale said this, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do." You can't win the world for Christ by yourself. You can't win the United States for Christ by yourself. Billy Graham couldn't even do that. He won a lot of people to Christ. You can't win Marion Oaks to Christ by yourself. But you know what? God can use you to reach one person, reach one family, maybe a couple. Don't refuse to do what you can do just because of what you can't do. So be open to God working in and through you, and don't wait for an angel. Keep your eyes open every day and ready, willing, say, "God, show me and help me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in your word tonight. Lord, I pray that it be motivating to us. I pray it be encouraging to us. I pray that it would help us to be aware of these practical things we can do every day. As we get up in the morning, say, "God, here I am. This is the day you've given me. Help me to serve you today and use me today, and help me to hear your voice and speak up when you want me to speak up, and love people in Jesus' name and help others, and be willing to share the gospel as you give opportunity." And Father, I pray you'd lead us to people not only to share Christ with, but to develop a relationship with, to make it easier to share Christ with them. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.